Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. In his message titled, Being Twoke, Reverend David Williams tells us that it is hard to be awake today. We are being told what we need to be consumed about, which can make us agitated. We need to see through the unimportant stuff and realize that God's gift is most important. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's word.
Please be seated. It is the beginning of our Advent season. It's Christmas tide, and all around we are orienting ourselves towards that day when we are meant to remember Emmanuel, we're meant to remember God with us, we're meant to remember the presence of the divine in our lives. But mostly this season, things just get so busy, and things are distracting, and the world is full of clamor and discord, and it is so easy just to be distracted by all things. Here in this time when we are meant to be calm, meant to catch our breath and turn our eyes towards Bethlehem, we can barely focus on anything because there's so much going on. And it's right to acknowledge that we can come into this place feeling scattered and distracted and anxious and overwhelmed. And as we come into this sacred space, it's right to admit that that can cloud our focus on that which matters, on the journey of this season towards grace and hope for the world. Let's now pray together a prayer that says, yes, we are kind of scattered right now, but Lord, please help us with that. Let's pray the prayer of confession together. It's printed in our bulletin. Please join with me. God of all things and every moment, this season should be a time of joy and hope. We've given thanks for life and your blessings. We're setting ourselves towards a season of celebration. But the time can feel filled with foreboding as grim news and the endless chatter of social media anxiety color our view of your creation. We leap after one thing and then the next, reflective and increasingly less mindful of what matters. Though it is meant to be a season that shapes our hearts towards hope, we can feel less hopeful and more anxious and uncertain. Help us in this time of promise to awake and find your path. In Christ we ask this. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from the Gospel of Mark. I'll be reading from Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. You can follow along on page 50 in your pew New Testament. Let's listen a third time for God's word. Jesus says, "But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all of these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations and in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Language is a changeable thing. It changes all the time. It's not a constant, it's not consistent, it varies. So each year we find new things to describe or new ways to describe them, and those words slowly work their way into the vocabulary of our culture. Every year, Merriam-Webster adds a batch of terms to their new and ever-expanding compendium of the English language. And so back in September, they pitched out a list. Here are the new words. There's new words for 2017. And there are a batch of them. There are words that are borrowed from other cultures, most of which have to do with food. Like now in the dictionary, you will find the word sriracha, because that's a, you know, of course, it's a spicy plus. It's in everything. And there's like sriracha ice cream now, it seems. And you'll find bibimbap. We know what bibimbap is? Yeah. This is a Korean comfort food. It's basically whatever meat you got in the house, rice, sticky rice, and vegetables, and then you break a couple of eggs over it. It's bibimbap. I've been making that in our house for years. So it's like, yeah, it's about time. Bibimbap is now English. That's an English word. You can. Another word added this year is the word froyo. F-R-O-Y-O. And that seems late to me. I mean, froyo is like 1994. I mean, come on. I mean, get behind this. Added to the dictionary this year, ransomware and malware and troll. Troll was there already, but now there's a new definition for it. And that tells us a little bit about the strange darkness of our virtual world. And it actually, also making the list, the word hive mind. Just in case we don't feel we're living out a dystopian novel right now, there you go. Language evolves and it changes with cultures. And I don't know about y'all, but it exists even within, like, there are languages that and words that exist only in small groups or in families. Like in my family, there's the word Shostakovich, which in its original derivation is the last name of Dmitri Dmitrievich Shostakovich, the 20th century Russian composer who was also a member of the Supreme Soviet, a high-ranking official in the Soviet Communist Party. And that word in my household is the word you say when you drop a bowl full of spaghetti sauce in the kitchen. And it smashes and dinner is ruined and your 7-year-old son and your 5-year-old son are sitting at the table watching you and you go, "Oh, Shostakovich." My sons are 19 and 17 and I still use that word, which makes me sound a little bit like a Bolshevik Ned Flanders. And then there is the word that has been popping about in my head for the last couple of weeks, which I just completely made up, and that word is hashtag twoke. Hashtag twoke, because now we have to add hashtags to everything. And twoke, as it occurred to me, is a term possibly, maybe, that can be applied to the strange state of eternal agitation that seems to have fallen over our culture, and particularly our culture as it manifests itself in social media. Plays off the idea of being woke. Anyone heard that term? To be woke? That idea is you're finally realizing what's real. You're looking at a culture and discovering, hey, this thing really doesn't work. Or here is where an injustice is occurring. And you need to be motivated about it. You need to be aware of it. You need to be woke. And woke implies waking up. Duh. I mean, obviously. Looking at the world and seeing it for the first time. But twoke is different. It's what happens to woke when you fuse being woke with the short attention span theater of corporately owned social media platforms, where being twoke is when you get outraged about every last thing and you're riled because you're reading everyone's being riled and you're constantly on edge about everything. And if you're constantly on edge about everything, seeing whatever the outrage du jour is, that makes you really, really anxious and really, really fired up. And two, being twoke means you're going to be on social media platforms that are owned by corporations that want you to be on social media platforms all the time. And so it's not really being awake. It feels like being twoke is the difference between being situationally aware, which is awoke and awakened, and just being jumpy. You want to be situationally aware. You don't want to be jumpy. Being twoke is like, as opposed to being woke, if you're awake, it's like 2 cups of coffee. Being twoke is like 12 cups of coffee. It's the difference between knowing what it is you're really looking for, knowing what it is you can value and is important, and chasing after an endless stream of squirrels. We seem to live in a culture where we're both very, very, very awake and not awake at all. It feels now like so much of our life together is being twoke, and it is the farthest thing from being awake and aware. And today in Mark, Jesus talks about being awake, about being aware of what matters. And here we are in the portion of Mark that it's often called the Little Apocalypse. And the Little Apocalypse is pretty much all of the 13th chapter of Mark, and it's filled with familiar apocalyptic imagery. What happens here? All kinds of bad things happen here. It's the destruction of the temple, the catastrophic collapse of society, oppression and hardship, followed by the fulfillment of the Messianic age. And we hear in this that what happens is it gets completed by the arrival of the Son of Man. It's classic imagery. Here is that angelic figure, that source of God's power, arriving and coming down through the clouds, and there's glory and there's light and, you know, there's lens flare. It's good stuff. And it is pretty much what we visualize whenever we visualize the apocalypse. But there are different elements to this, things that are striking, that are slightly different than the standard way we get at, well, this is just the end of all things. First off, it doesn't really follow the usual format of an apocalypse. An apocalypse, that moment of unveiling of truth. Usually, if we go to the book of Revelation, we're reading John of Patmos, we go to the end parts of the book of Daniel, they all have the same thing. First, they're bizarre. We get all sorts of weirdness happening. An angelic figure shows up and says, here are these signals. We've got 12 of this and 7 of that, and there's a bell and there's a trumpet and there's a cup, and you don't know what's going on until the angel explains to you what it means. That figure is not there. There's no angelic intermediary. There's not really a strong sense of, like, here is the time of final judgment. We don't get those pieces. So this apocalypse that Jesus gives us through Mark is different in that way. But what's most different about it is that it doesn't seem to describe the unfolding of an event in the far future. It doesn't even describe an event that's about to happen. This seems to be something, as Jesus is talking about it, that's already in process. When is this going to happen? When Jesus tells them, here is when this is going to occur, he says, well, it'll happen in the lifetime of this generation. And typically when Christians read this, they say, ooh, that must mean it's talking to me. And it is. But it's also talking to the people who heard it first. And they heard it first a very, very long time ago now. Jesus is consistent about this. He also says that back in Mark chapter 9, verse 1. What I am doing will be fulfilled in the lifetime of you who are listening to me right now. And what does that mean? I mean, did this all happen already? I mean, did the world come to an end in the lifetime of the generation that Jesus was talking to, who would have heard it first, way back in the first century, which is a while ago? I don't think it did, at least not in this part of the multiverse. But how do we hear it now? How do we hear it now if Jesus said this came to completion in the lifetime of those a long time ago? I think in part it helps to remember that for those communities that heard Mark's gospel first, they would have said, yes, that has happened now. What Jesus declares in chapter 13 of Mark's gospel happened. His listeners, the people who would have received Mark's gospel, would have watched everything they had known and loved completely destroyed. Judea, in their lifetimes, all of that nation would have been obliterated by the Roman Empire. The city of Jerusalem, the heart of their tradition, had fallen, had been destroyed after a brutal siege in the year 70 and the combined assault of 3 Roman legions. And the temple, the heart of their faith, was razed to the ground. Their nation, Israel, shattered for nearly 2,000 years. So they would have felt that as a very present, real, now thing, all of what Jesus proclaims. And yet, as he talks about this, he says, well, how does this happen? And the answer is it is always happening. It is always occurring. This passage gets to us at the beginning of Advent, always a little bit, it always, at least to my my Christmas-oriented ear, always sounds very slightly dissonant. You know, you've got the candles and you've got the decorations and everything's pretty and everything's nice and the sun will be darkened and the moon will give it and the stars are falling down and woe, if you go to the earlier part, which the lectionary doesn't have me read, is woe to those who are pregnant. Pray it may not be winter. It's like, wait, it is winter. It's Christmas. What? You know, it's just grim. It's this grim, hard thing, and we always start Advent with it. And it's like, no, not again, but it's important because what Jesus is saying here is that the powerful, shattering, shaking transition to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God's arrival, is happening for us. It's happening for us as we personally come to terms with what it means to live into that kingdom. And it's something that belongs to this generation. Which generation? This one. Which one are you part of? If you're part of this generation, you know, if you're a millennial, if you're an Xer, if you're a boomer, doesn't matter. It belongs to you, the one who is listening. And that is why his call to stay awake is so significant. It is something that every person, every human person that engages with the word of Jesus needs to connect with. And being awake is very different from being hashtag twoke. Because if we fall into that pattern of distraction that is so present in our culture, chasing after every last thing, always feeling agitated and anxious about every single event that occurs every day in our 24-second news cycle, then we're not going to be able to keep ourselves alert for those things that matter. Being truly awake, really alert, genuinely watchful means more than being caught up and swept up and carried along by the endless chaotic churn of our frantic, fluttering culture. What matters is attentiveness and giving priority to those actions and choices that best mirror the gracious intent of how God means us to live. Being awake and attentive reinforces in us the necessity of thinking how our every action in this moment, now, mirrors our reason for being. And how the ways we choose to focus our minds and the precious sacred time we have been given, how those choices reflect the reign of God. That is what Jesus means by being awake. And so as we face the bustle and busyness and churn of this season, as we look to the anxiousness and chaos of our national life, in this time of scattering and clamor, remember to be awake. Let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
It is hard to be awake and alert now, it seems. I feel it. It seems like every day there is a reason that I should be panicked. Every 30 seconds, something new that I need to be outraged at or upset with. And from our society pours this endless stream of demands. Look at me. This is the most important thing ever. At least for the last 30 seconds. This is the most important thing in your life, and it must consume you completely until the next thing that is the most important thing ever, that must consume you completely until the most important thing ever. And it is an endless churn, and it's easy for a soul to feel agitated and anxious and overwhelmed. And that's not being awake. To be alert for those things and open to those things that truly matter, you have to know what they are. You have to be able to see them through the clutter and chaos of life. And as we enter this Advent season, it is meant as a reminder to direct us towards that thing that is the most significant. For those of us who have chosen this journey, that thing is that God is with us. That's God's love for us, for all humankind, is made known in the presence of a tiny child born in a backwater province of an ancient fallen empire, whose life and witness and sacrifice and love still resonate as a beacon today. Something that we are meant to let guide us and be watchful for in the world around us. So in the craziness of this season, in the bustle and madness of our culture, try not to be hashtag twoke. It's new trending word, push it now. Try not to do that. Try to be awake. Awake and vigilant for those moments that really matter. And for the choices in your life that will mean you are following that path. Let us all, in this season, be awake. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, may they be and abide with us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.